Welcome back to Yam Time episode 8. As always, you're here with your hosts Hoop, Saini, and the infamous ZZ Hunt Show. Playoff talk, a lot going on today. We haven't really covered it in a while. Specifically, I'm excited to talk about two of our teams up here. You know, one of them's already sent home, but we could brush on that a little later.
One of them's enjoying some good weather. We'll say that.
Did you guys see the video of I apologize because you got to do the thing, but Austin Reeves and D'Lo were at like a golf simulator.
I did see that.
You saw D'Lo dyed his hair blonde or something?
Yeah,
like that.
I thought the same thing. I zoomed in on it. I was like,
and then when he got the hole in one, they celebrated like they won the NBA finals. I was like,
I mean, what's harder, a hole in one
or scoring 0 points in the playoffs?
I'm saying, why don't you just get eliminated early? You could have more fun. Like, they're having a blast. I don't know. I thought it would be more depressing if you lost.
But after you saw Torian Prince's post-game interview where he was
laughing.
I guess I shouldn't be laughing. What are you talking about?
But anyways, before we get into this episode, we want to give a quick shout-out to our sponsor, same as last time, TickPick, the GOAT ticket merchant, I guess is the ticket vendor is the word to use. You guys know us. We don't really get sponsored by companies. We don't really like to get sponsored by companies that we don't actually use. Again, I'll use the same example, Manscaped. We did that once. I never used that product again. I'm being real. I didn't use it again, so I did not sponsor it. It's not in my goodwill to sponsor something that I genuinely don't believe in. But I do believe that TickPick is the best place for, you know, obviously buying tickets, which is why I want to portray that to you guys. It's a win-win situation for them to sponsor us and for us to also be able to vouch for something that is legit. No hidden fees whatsoever. So the price you see is the price you're going to pay for any event that you're looking to go to. Me personally, now obviously I live in Halifax. There's not a lot going on in Halifax, but I just recently bought some
you
tickets.
You got to explain where Halifax is.
Nova Scotia in Canada. We're on the Atlantic side. We're right above New York.
He said Halifax like it was LA.
We have a semi-pro soccer team, though. It was honestly a pretty fun game to go to. I bought the tickets off of TickPick, of course. I got them for like $30 and they were really close. Now it's a Wanderers game, so the tickets aren't expensive to begin with. But, I mean, they were great seats for a great price.
He said the Wanderers, like they were the Lakers.
The Wanderers. The Wanderers. but anyway, shout out to TickPick, obviously. I know Hoop uses them a bunch whenever he goes to games as well. He's been stopping at the Knicks games with a friend I'm not going to mention.
I vouch for TickPick. Shout out to TickPick.
But use code YAMTIME for 10% off of any purchase above $99. That's YAMTIME with no space. Just YAMTIME, and shout out to TickPick again for the sponsor. But why don't we jump into this talk, because I feel like we have been having a bit of a gap in between our episodes. That's obviously we've been a little busy dealing with some stuff, obviously all three of us, so it's harder to record, but we're committed to kind of get a couple more episodes out because way too much is going on. I feel like since the last episode, last EP, we were talking about, will the Lakers get swept? They didn't. Round of applause. They didn't.
You know what's
swept.
Crazy is they should have won the series.
Yeah, I know. They did a lot better than I thought,
like,
they would.
Genuinely, I feel like it was a coin flip.
Yeah, yeah.
Either to when they win the series.
LeBron actually just recently said this, and I agree with him fully. He was like, he said that he believes that the Lakers were like 4 or 5 plays away, I believe was the quote, from winning the series. He said he's up at night thinking a few plays gone differently and they win that series.
And to be fair, I apologize if I don't want to take this over, but I was just thinking, like, while watching this old era versus new era with the Anthony Edwards, Brunson's a relatively new star on the scene, with just previously seeing Ja Morant versus the KD, LeBron. The league
forgot
is,
Ja Morant exists.
There's a Zion out there, bro.
But I forgot Ja and Zion existed. Oh, dang.
This sounds very like narrative based and ESPN talk instead of the more analytical side. But LeBron's just not hungry anymore, bro. I'm telling you, there's a different look in the other players' eyes where I'm more like, I've been against the old LeBron doesn't care about winning, and I still think he's a great player, but I'm ready to pin some of this on him regardless of how old he is. Because if you're playing at a certain level and you can't, like, he's the one who's not closing the door for me.
I'll say this, I agree with Hoop 100%, but Hoop's point is the exact reason why I'll say LeBron James is the GOAT, because imagine that we have to sit here and convince ourselves it's a 39-year-old's fault they are not beating the MVP of the league in Nikola Jokic, who's probably going to get it, and the Denver Nuggets, who just recently won the championship.
But he was playing at a certain level and a certain
They have D'Angelo Russell scoring zero in a playoff game and shooting abysmal numbers, and then giving you false hope in a half just to do nothing in the second half. And they have Anthony Davis, who, you know what, played most of the season this year, so I'm not going to pin a lot on Anthony Davis, but in previous years, obviously, as Hoop likes to call him, a Nature Valley buyer. We're sitting here and we're convincing ourselves that, well, you know what? LeBron doesn't want to win anymore. Bro, LeBron
Am I wrong, though?
LeBron cells are probably dying off faster than they're regenerating. That's the age he's at this point. He is now at the point where, what is it, at like 35 or 40, your cells stop regenerating and they just... Depressing to say, you're just slowly dying over time. LeBron James is at the point where he should be going to physio and having that little dad strut, and we're out here saying, well, he's just not hungry anymore.
Am I wrong?
He's 40. You're right, 100%.
But do you want to see that as a Lakers fan?
But it's why he's my GOAT, is my point. This is the exact reason why LeBron James is my GOAT. I have never in, and I guarantee you they did not say this about Jordan. I wasn't around for it, so correct me if I'm wrong, but were we saying a 39-year-old Jordan on the Wizards was not hungry anymore? No, we were saying, oh, it's his last little hoorah. Woohoo! Like, no, bro. No, we are talking about a 20.
Was MJ in the playoffs, though, on like a team that could contend?
Thank you. Look. He was in the Eastern Conference. I want to go look at their standings, actually. What was MJ's last year? 2003, was it? Right? 2003 NBA season.
All I'm saying is it's a little different when you're in the closing minutes of a game where it's like tied up to knock off the defending champions.
Yeah,
and then you kind of take your foot off the gas pedal.
The fact that he is there in the most stacked Western Conference I have seen since 2010.
This is going to turn into a GOAT debate. We need to move on. LeBron's out of the playoffs, bro.
Exact reason why he's my GOAT. You are asking me why. You are asking me why a 40-year-old is not hungry anymore. You are asking me why a man at this point who should be fed through a feeding tube isn't hungry anymore. He's that old. All jokes aside, 40 is not that old. If you're 40 years old, you are in the prime of your life. I'm making a joke here, but like, bro, come on. You don't agree. Like, Z, I know you're agreeing with me right now. Like, bro, we're talking about a 39-year-old not being hungry.
Yeah.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly, Hoop, from the bottom of my heart. We hold LeBron James up to that very high standard. And it's that very high standard why he's the GOAT. We weren't asking Dirk to do
this.
I'll
say the same thing about
KD. We were all cheering we were all cheering like Kevin Garnett. He was averaging 5 points a game in his last season. We were like, KG, last season. We're out here like Paul Pierce scored 2 points in his last game against Boston and he kissed the logo and we're out here praising him. LeBron James drops 25 and we're like, he ain't hungry. He didn't have 30.
All I'm saying is like my recent memory of LeBron, we need to move on.
Yes.
But my recent memory of LeBron James being a Laker has been at the end of his playoff runs going out sad. Against Phoenix in 2021, I think he was walking around the court.
He just genuinely gets gassed, though.
And it seems after every year, I think to myself, he could retire. Like it feels like that sort of ending.
Yes.
And he comes back and he plays to a very high standard and then it droops down at the end. So I'm saying, at what point are we going to sit here and say, I'm not trying to criticize him. Mm. I'm just trying to say, compared to these other stars in the league, he doesn't have it. So why are the Lakers trying?
Last thing I'll say, I don't want you to think I'm disagreeing with you, but I am agreeing. But I do also think LeBron James is at the point where he gets gassed because he's old and he needs to play a role where he's arguably maybe even the third option on a team if he wants to continue to win. The Lakers force him to be that first option because sometimes Anthony Davis isn't reliable.
Yes,
sometimes D'Angelo Russell will go on stretches and then he does nothing. And you're forcing this 39-year-old to completely control your offense and defensively still has to be some sort of presence, right? Like I believe in the play-in against New Orleans.
He was supposed to be on minutes restriction when he first entered the season.
Yeah,
right. Like, and I believe against New Orleans, against New Orleans in the play-in, he had 13 assists in the first half. You should not expect that from a 39-year-old. I don't care about his legacy. Like LeBron James deserves to be on a team built like the Pelicans, for example. You know what I mean? Where they have a bunch of these solidified scorers and all LeBron needs to do is put players in the right position. He can put D'Angelo Russell on an island with a garbage can guarding him. And 9 times out of 10, D'Lo might go 4 for 18. Like you don't know what's going to happen with this Lakers team, to be fair. Right?
See, but here's my thing with that, right? Because I see I'm in agreement kind of with both of you in the fact of like LeBron is in a stage in his career where we can't put a lot of blame on him for decisions that, when you look at like losses for the Lakers, you can't point the finger at LeBron. Like I told you, I can't point the finger at LeBron and point the finger at Anthony Davis for any bad play throughout that five-game stretch, right, against the Denver. But I can look at D'Lo, I can look at Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves and all of the intangible pieces that we looked at going into the season and said, damn, the Lakers really made a lot of offseason acquisitions. Or paint back to last year during the trade deadline, oh, the Lakers were able to get Vando and D'Lo and all of it to go to the Western Conference Finals, whatever. But the way I look at it is like this. The more and more time that passes by for LeBron in Los Angeles, I am inclined, the same way that Hoop is, where I'm looking at it and I'm like, yo, when is there going to come a point in time where we stop blaming coaches, bro? That's my biggest issue with Los Angeles specifically, right? Darvin Ham, Lakers fans, love and hate, more so hate than love relationship with Darvin Ham. I understand X's and O's and executions and rotations and all that shit. I get that. I have Steve Kerr all season long was pissing me off with certain players that he would give more minutes to, or taking players out when they're hot, or putting Steph Curry in when it's a 5-point game. And when he went out of the game, we were up 10. Now we're down 7. Just situational awareness from coaches is what's going to piss off a fan, right? In the case of the Lakers, though, I have asked multiple Laker fans, I've texted some of my closest friends who are Laker fans, and said, if Darvin Ham gets fired, this is before he got fired, I said, if Darvin Ham gets fired, tell me right now what head coach is out there that is going to fix the issues for this Laker roster that Darvin Ham couldn't fix in a 2-year time span in which he went to the Western Conference Finals and lost to the eventual champions. And then he made it to the first round with this team, the 7th seed with this team, and matched up with the defending champions. So my question is,
oh, you want a name?
Go ahead.
Doc Rivers, baby.
Oh, Lord. Doc Rivers.
Nah, he commands the locker room, though.
Yeah. We saw how that worked
he
out.
He has the players' respect. one more chance.
Nah, hell nah. They about to get Phil Jackson. Ain't nobody doing that. Look, at the end of the day, Darvin Ham was not the issue. He was a part of the problem. Same thing I said with Russell Westbrook when he was there. He's not the main issue. He was a part of a puzzle that they tried to force him into, but he didn't fit with LeBron and Anthony Davis because ball control, ball handling, all of that, like distributing, facilitating, some of that stuff would just make Russ's like reason for being on the court virtually unexplainable. Like he would just be stuck in a corner and they want Russ to be a catch and shoot 3-point corner special. No, like, so moving forward, what they're going to do, I don't know. If they go get JJ Redick, if they go get Ty, they're not going to get Ty Lue, but if they get, I don't know, Coach Bud, like, I don't know, Monty Williams, Mark Jackson, like, which one of those coaches out of the four that I just gave you, which one of them is going to be the one that's, oh, this is the one. Yes, we need you to do this.
I don't want to ramble on the Lakers coach situation too long because I can rant about this for the next 2 hours, but I will say this, and the main thing I really want to drive from what you just said is I pray to God that JJ Redick does not coach the Lakers because I saw this theory that like LeBron got this podcast with him and he wants to like set him up to be the next Lakers coach so they can talk X's and O's together. I pray to God that JJ Redick does not coach the Lakers because
that'd be content, bro.
That's content. Number one, I'm not saying JJ would make a bad coach, but I'm saying that the Lakers, to me, the position they're in is so impossible to save unless they blow it all up. And the Lakers are so trigger happy to switch when things aren't going correct. Like they don't know how to stick through the mud and stay with a certain coach. Like, for example, who's a great example to use? Like Eric Spoelstra. Eric Spoelstra, he's been with the Heat for how long now? He's been through ups and downs with them, and it's about trusting the process with your coach, understanding that bad seasons come and go, and you need to have that same presence in the locker room.
Well, Pat Riley just called out his own player. I'm saying, like, they don't, like, Pat, there's not a lot of people with that kind of power. I don't know if you saw, he called out Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero.
Yeah. I didn't see the Tyler Hero. I saw Jimmy Butler.
He called Tyler Hero soft for being injured.
Pretty much.
I respect it too.
But
I don't want JJ Redick to go there because I feel like his reputation as a coach is going to go down the gutter. Like any chance he has at being like a long-term coach, he'll get destroyed by the Lakers fans and he'll have such a bad perception on him. That's all I want to say about that topic though, because there is somebody, or there is a topic we do need to move on to. But
can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Because me and Z were talking about this on our own phone call and I was thinking about just specifically the coach rotations. Of Kevin Durant and also I'm sorry, LeBron James and also Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. KD, I have just realized, has, if you have seen the state of the Brooklyn Nets and the Phoenix Suns,
yeah,
he has completely obliterated two franchises for a decade. But those are the two teams that don't have their picks until like 2030 something.
Yes, bro.
Completely demolished two franchises for a decade.
More stuff too. Who? More stuff. Don't stop. Just that. Look, what Stanley just said about JJ Redick, right?
Steve Nash, if he was the coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, would probably still be in the league right now. He'd probably be one of the best coaches in the league.
Mm-hmm. Now, look, I told you on the phone, Hoop was the one that put it into my head of like, we really got to look at what Kevin Durant did since he left Golden State for more than just like he didn't get a ring. Nah, he went to Brooklyn. He got Kyrie. He got James Harden, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, the whole crew.
DeAndre Jordan.
Hey, Paul Millsap.
Yeah, all your favorite role players from the 2010s, KD had on his team.
They were like bona fide all-stars, all of them.
Yes. So you look at all that Kevin Durant brought to Brooklyn, right? What he brought to Brooklyn. Not a championship, a couple of exciting series and some great games, 5s, 6s, and 7s maybe against Giannis for sure. But then you look at what happened when he left and what they have left over from dealing with him. Mikal Bridges, Ben Simmons, it's just so much. And it's just, and they're screwed till 2032 maybe. Like, I don't. It's crazy. Phoenix is
in the same boat. I'll be honest, heading into the season, I overrated Mikal Bridges so much.
I did too.
I thought he was going to be so much better. He really is just like a really good role player. That's just the number one option on a team right now. He is not. Oh, yeah. He's great. He's not all-star great.
I don't know how he played so well last year.
Last year he was insane. So I don't know what happened.
That's what it was. He had something to prove.
I think he was just pissed. Yeah. But let's move on because I know we were talking about the Lakers and how they were playing the Denver. Let's talk about Denver, more specifically the series they're in right now with mm-hmm. the red hot Timberwolves. Now, at the time of this recording, it's May 8th. The Timberwolves are up 2-0 on the Denver Nuggets, and they are just. I personally have never seen a defensive show like because the Nuggets are so good, right? I have never seen the Nuggets get that pressed and that defensively destroyed. Offensively, they were just lost, every single one of them. I have never seen that from this Denver Nuggets team yet. And to see the Timberwolves do that without Rudy Gobert,
mm-hmm.
and who, by the way, history tells us that when a player has a child in the playoffs, they tend to play very good. Look at Fred VanVleet before and after his kid in the championship run.
Okay, yeah.
And he had his kid in the second round. Now, bear with me here. Because
is this a Google search?
No. This is me.
How do you remember this?
Off the top of my head. Because to be fair, I'm Canadian, so we like the Freddie like Raptor stuff is like drilled into our heads. But Freddie was averaging like 8 points on like 40%, 30% or whatever before his child, and then after his child, he turned into an all-star and he got like a max deal out of that playoff run.
Jalen Green
had a child. Yep. What happened? He became Michael Jordan for like 3 weeks. Rudy Gobert is going to start chucking up threes like he's Steph Curry, and he's going to start playing the best defense you'll ever see in your life. Obviously, I'm joking about the Steph part, but watch Rudy Gobert turn up now that he has a child, because every player's dream is to have a kid and then put a ring on his finger right when he's born. That'd be a pretty cool thing to say that you did as a dad, right? That's pretty swag, and I think Rudy Gobert is going to do that. I'm calling it right now. The Timberwolves are if they're going to face the Thunder and lose, obviously. But if it wasn't for the Thunder, the Timberwolves would be going to the finals and going all the way.
You think you could match up with their size, bro?
Yes, I got. Yes. I got the T-Wolves.
Yeah, I'd like to hear this.
Yes,
I want to hear it too.
Wholeheartedly do.
Go ahead.
With Gobert, Towns, Naz Reid, explain.
Naz Reid, Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns. Here's the difference. Karl Anthony Towns is a chihuahua. I don't know if you've seen Oklahoma's culture lately, but we're all a bunch of dogs now. I'm not scared about no Karl Anthony Towns. Number one, look at what we did to the Dallas Mavericks yesterday. We took them apart mm-hmm. defensively.
What does that have to do with the Wolves?
Because I'm more scared of the Dallas Mavericks than I am of the Timberwolves.
That's where you're wrong.
No.
Swear,
Luka and Kyrie?
Okay, don't even get me wrong, because I understand where you're coming from on that point of Luka and Kyrie. I've said it before.
It's
Kyrie,
a matchup basis.
Right, but in terms of Minnesota, let me just go. Let me go. Ladies and gentlemen, what I saw the other night in that game too from Minnesota was the greatest playoff defense I have seen in the last 10 years. I'm not even
Alcatraz. Fort Knox.
No, bro. Just, yeah, anyway, continue.
Rikers Island. What's that thing Shannon Sharp said? A fried catfish, mac and cheese, cornbread,
yams.
Yams. That's like, bro. That was what it was for Karl Anthony Towns when he was in isolation. That was what it was for Anthony Edwards when he was in isolation. Granted, when you looked at like Nickeil Alexander-Walker smiling at Jamal Murray at half court when Jamal tried to get past him, he pushed him back, and then you just see in the instant replay him smiling at him. I was like, oh yeah, he's cooked. Imagine, what are you gonna do if all three of us, right? So let's say Sandy was Jamal Murray, say I'm MPJ, and let's say Hoop is Jokic, right? Sandy's bringing the ball up the court. Yeah. Sandy's bringing the ball up the court, gets stopped by Light Out Sports, or I don't know, but gets stopped by someone. And then they smile at him. Me, as MPJ on the wing, I'm going to be like, we cooked. Like, what are we going to do? Like, it didn't matter if they were doing a pick and roll, like with Jamal and Jokic, right? Where they do the simple Jamal, do a little bounce pass between the two defenders. They were picking that up. Then Jokic is backing dudes down in the post. Ant comes out of the cut from behind, strips him, and goes down. Like, and then the simple passes, Sandy, that was the thing that really got me. The simple passes, all the passes that they were making, all the plays that they were doing against the Lakers, you know, the quick drop off to Aaron Gordon or MPJ doing a little pick and fade action, all of the simple reads. It was like the Timberwolves had a counter for the Nuggets counters. That's how dangerous that defense looked. And like Sandy said, when going down damn near 30 at halftime and you're the defending champions and it's on your home court, mind you, first two games of the series, the Denver Nuggets have home court advantage. The Timberwolves held them to under 100 points in both of those games. Now they're up 2-0 going back to Minnesota. I think the Denver's going to win one of these next two, but I got T-Wolves in six. I don't know about y'all, but
I think it might be sooner than that, bro.
Genuinely. Denver will definitely pull away with one. I don't see Denver getting swept. I think it's five. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what the issue is I don't want to blame this on Denver being banged up, because that's not just what it is. They could perform better, but they're still not going to completely flip the game script that Jamal Murray was completely healthy. The issue is, it's like a given when a star, specifically distributor, point guard, whatever you want to call Jamal Murray, gets past the first defender. I watch the Knicks all the time. Jalen Brunson, it's a 100% given that he will get past the first defender. That's when the defense starts to break down. That's when the real basketball starts. The rotations, all this stuff. Jamal Murray can't get past the first defender right now.
Yeah.
Alexander Walker, McDaniels. There's like three or four different guys that are like clamping him. So then you got to pull up Jokic to try to get the whole screen thing working. They're slipping under their rotations. If it, for some reason, the defense breaks down, you have Jaden McDaniels as this freaking 7'5" wingspan help defender flying in. It's like ridiculous. But the fact that Jamal Murray is not like, they can't create anything for themselves. They need like a perfect screen and all this movement to happen to at least start the play.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've noticed.
Meanwhile, with like when you look at the Timberwolves and what they're doing, like the way that they're putting points on the board, you know, defense wins championships. We've heard that a lot of times in the last 35 years. But when you look at this Timberwolves team and you're looking in comparison to the Denver Nuggets, who is an offense and a starting five, that's probably the best starting five in basketball, that probably has one of the best two-man actions we've seen in the last 10 years or so. And then three-man actions when you add in a backdoor cutting Aaron Gordon to the rim or something like that. Like the fact that I was watching that game and I couldn't even recognize the Denver Nuggets. That's how bad it was. I was like, this team looks mentally like, and then you got, we'll get into the Jamal Murray towel.
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah. So let's just transition into that, 'cause I do want to talk about that. Go ahead, Sandy.
I think the funniest thing about that situation was the Instagram comments I read, and every single comment related to Draymond. If that was Draymond, he'd be in Alcatraz. If that was Draymond, yep. he'd get like 20 years in a maximum security prison. And I to an extent, obviously, it's, you know, people make the jokes, but I agree fully. Like, Jamal Murray, it just came out today, I believe, that he got a $100,000 fine for what he did. $100,000 is nothing to these players. That's like maybe like a speeding ticket for us, genuinely, mm-hmm. right? Like, these players are getting $100 million contracts. I'm sure that, you know, the team is going to help pay for it in some way. Like, there's no way, because Jamal Murray, like, they need their star player. Even if he is paying for it fully, the guy has like a New Balance deal, I believe. Like, it's not just his NBA money coming in. Like, the guy has money to spend. I don't think he's thinking twice about that $100,000 to be able to continue playing and pursue a ring. The money does not matter when it comes to a situation like this. If this was a regular season game, okay, don't suspend him, whatever. Like, it's the Nuggets. They were going to make the playoffs anyway. Give him a hefty fine. Give it to a charity, whatever. Fine him for sure. No suspension, though. He threw not one but two things on the court while there was... And the funniest part about it is the guy shot like 16% in the game, and he tried to throw something and couldn't even hit the ref. He couldn't hit a shot, and he couldn't even hit the ref. He had two chances
at hitting the ref. If this was on the street, the ref could, like, had full, you know, freedom to go fight him. It's battery.
Like,
is it not?
Like, if you're on a keypad... And the worst part is, you could see, I don't know if it was Reggie Jackson or KCP, like, during the play, like, they pick up the heat pad and look over to the bench just disappointed. Like, I've never seen more disappointed. Like, they were just like, just had it in their hand. It's wild. I think that his punishment was, he got a slap on the wrist. Not even, he got a little flick on the wrist. Draymond kicked Steven Adams in the balls, or LeBron was it, one or the other, and then he got suspended.
All of them. He kicked Steven Adams in the nuts twice, and he swiped at LeBron's jewels. So
and I get that, like, a first offense, you shouldn't suspend them to an extent. But he did it twice in one game.
Exactly.
In one game. That should be enough to be like, hey, you didn't learn your mistake, you temper tantrum baby. Like, you're off.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the league is trying to, like, specifically in some games, I feel like they're trying to promote physicality.
No.
I'm saying this is.
Hey guys,
it correlates. But I'm saying the foul calls are not as ticky tacky as they've been in the past.
Yes,
and they're promoting a lot of this, like, marginal contact stuff. Where, why are you smiling like that?
Just like the thing.
But I don't think it's all that, like. Like, the in terms of promoting physicality, now that they're trying to dim down these penalties and flagrant fouls, specifically I'm thinking of Embiid, because I don't know if you guys saw the report. Yep. Mitchell Robinson is out for like 6 to 8 weeks with an ankle sprain.
That at the expense of what Joel did?
I mean, everyone's saying it's Joel. I don't know.
It ain't Joel. It ain't Joel. But
regardless, like, they're trying to, like, dim down these bigger penalties, which is, like, the whole, like, that's the reason you have penalties.
Wait, breaking news. I went to go back to the Jamal Murray. I was reading these comments laughing. I was going to read some of them out loud while you were doing that, because I wanted to bring up specific examples. But Giannis Antetokounmpo, 1 minute ago, tore his Achilles.
Who? Giannis?
No, Thanasis.
Thanasis?
What did he do?
Thanasis.
What the hell did he do?
I forgot to pronounce it.
Walking down the stairs?
Man,
walking into the gym, like,
I'm not gonna make fun of the guy, because I never want to kick a man while he's down with his Achilles. Yeah, but there are a lot of funny comments here that I wish I could.
Man, don't even trip. I'm about to
I'll
go.
Just say one of them. Damn, their next season's really screwed now.
Oh my god, I feel bad for.
Nah,
oh, I see
up,
it now.
I was trying to read off some Jamal Murray comments, and it just refreshed. But anyway,
somebody said, "Where was he playing at, bro? Be for real."
That's crazy. Oh my God. Nah, let's move on.
Somebody, hey, give a big shout out to the best Antetokounmpo brother. Anyway, move forward. This Jamal Murray thing, let me just say this. For me, I didn't think that he was going to get suspended. I thought that he should have gotten suspended. But the reasons that I didn't think he was going to get suspended were literally almost what Hoop alluded to with the whole Joel Embiid thing. With, like, for a play like Joel Embiid's, the one that he had where he's on the ground and Mitchell's trying to go up for the rebound, he grabs his leg. Like, obviously, being a Draymond defender half the year, I looked at that play and I was like, I have to see if it's a situation like a Sabonis where Draymond stomped on his chest. But then when you looked at the replay, you see Sabonis grabbing Draymond's or grabbing Clay and trying to bring him down and then holding on to Draymond. Like, there's more evidence to really make a case for both sides. In Joel Embiid's case, that wasn't – no. And then in Jamal Murray's case, nah, bro. Like Sandy said, you just sum it up to basically a temper tantrum. That was what it was. You got Mike Malone yelling in the referee's face, cussing him out, probably saying all sorts of obscenities. And then KCP even, right? I saw KCP in that game get just frustrated, just upset, just angry, yelling, screaming. Jamal Murray throwing heat pads, towels, shooting 3 for 18. Stop shooting, all right? If anything, whatever you have close to you, keep it next to you. Don't shoot nothing. If you got a receipt from McDonald's, put it in your pocket. All right, like don't come on now. You can't be throwing a temper tantrum that bad and be shooting worse than your temper tantrum. What are we doing? Come on now, like come on.
In the words of Kendrick Perkins, he was asked to go to Chick-fil-A for the team, and he brought back napkins and straws.
That was funny. Big Perk says a lot of stupid things, but that was funny. Okay, that was.
Let's stop harping on the Nuggets for a bit. I know Nuggets fans out there are contemplating the fact that their team was not going to turn into a dynasty. But why don't we talk?
That's
about...
sad because I thought they were going to go back to back.
They look like they were primed to be back to back. But again, this Western Conference is too strong.
Real quick, can I pose you a question?
Go.
If Ant wins a ring at this age with this team, what kind of conversations are you having?
I'd say right below Shea.
Wait.
Ha-ha. Wait,
if he wins a ring? If he said,
No, I still think Shea would be better than him.
I mean, if Ant wins a ring, then we're looking at him at the age of, what, 23,
22? 23.
One of the two, all right? But before the age of 25, at least. We'll keep it there. But if he were to – because my thing is, somebody asked me this question last night when I was on Player's Choice. They were like, are we having premature conversations about Anthony Edwards already? And he was like, if we're not having premature conversations, what conversations are we supposed to have? So I told him, when I looked at Anthony Edwards going into this season, I was like, I probably had him between like 15 and 20 range, or that range of player, right? And I said, going into the season, if he were to improve on certain aspects of his game, then his ranking would go up, right? When you look at a player like Ant, this is the thing that I love the most about him that I don't think a lot of people talk about a lot. Anthony Edwards has the potential to be one of the best two-way players in the game. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, think back to prime D Wade in Miami before LeBron got there, where he was only focused on being just a two-way player, right? Kobe after Shaq left, even, right? When his legs were still fresh and young. Anthony Edwards has that ability. That's what I've seen from him since he got drafted. I was like, once he starts to figure it out a little bit, gets the offensive game polished, because at one point I just looked at him as a slasher. But now he's got a mid-range game, a fadeaway, and a three-point shot that can be reliable in clutch situations. And then the defense to match, but the want or the will to play defense, that's what I don't think is talked about a lot. Because look at it. Like, for example, there were moments in that Sun series where Ant was like, F it, I got him. Like, and he's guarding his guy. He's guarding his idol. He's guarding Devin Booker. He's guarding Bradley Beal, right? In the Nuggets series, first two games, there's been moments where I got Jamal. Like, I'm not even joking to y'all. I genuinely think that Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, and Nickeil Alexander-Walker in game two on the bench, whenever they had a timeout, they were literally laughing. Like, imagine it's us three. And I'm like, hey, can I guard him now? Like, that's what they were doing. They were just like, is it my turn? You got enough? Like, the way that Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen were doing Tony Kukoc in the Olympics, just taking turns at the expense of his basketball career. But, I got him. Oh, he got a calf strain. He can't go left. We're going to make sure of it. Like, just picking with him. That's what I see with this Timberwolves team, where you have perimeter defenders who can lock you up and keep you on the perimeter. But if you do manage to get past them, Rudy Gobert, I didn't want to say Kat's name, but Kat's there. So, like, but you know, Nas,
nah, we don't hate on Kat. Kat came back from the last time we talked about him.
Yeah. But what the thing with Kat is too, and I'm gonna say this before, this is my last part. With Kat, I noticed some things, right? Going into this postseason, I was like, is Karl Anthony Towns a playoff dropper? Like, is he? Like, I don't think I've ever seen a game in the postseason where I was like, damn, Kat, all right, for sure. The last time I remember saying, damn, Kat, was the All-Star game when he had 50 and lost. So
he had 27 and 12, though, versus the Nuggets.
He had 27 and 12, one assist.
He's had plus 20-plus in his last three games, shooting really high numbers, though, to be fair.
Exactly. And you want to know why I think that is? Because he had Tom, like, when you know, he was injured at the latter half of the season, right?
Yeah.
He had Tom to actually get better. Not like a Joel Embiid situation where it's like, oh, are you 60% available? Yeah, we're gonna need you. Nah, they let Kat chill. They let Kat rehab, and now he's looking like he's got fresh legs. He's shooting threes and dunking in transition. So it's like, and then the defense on Kat, the defense that Kat's playing on Nikola Jokic, we gotta talk about that. Because I'm gonna be real with y'all. It looks like Nikola Jokic is struggling to move Karl Anthony Towns more than he was struggling to move Anthony Davis.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
He is a big dude. You remember the memes, though, of Kat back in the day trying to back Cousins. Down DeMarcus Cousins? So, you know, we got to give him credit. Hey.
Good days. Why don't we move on from the Denver scene a bit, though, because I know we still have two more series to harp on. I'm not talking about the Celtics or Cavs. I said this in the first round about the Cavs and Magic. Shout out to the Magic. You guys proved me wrong. I was completely wrong about that series. The Magic, I really thought they were going to pull away and win it at one point. So I will admit that I was, even though I said the Cavs would win, I said the Cavs would run away with it. Completely wrong. Orlando has a bright future. I apologize to the Magic fans out there who heard me say they were trash. You guys are not. Celtics and Cavs, that's not even a series, though. Genuinely, I do not think that that's going anywhere.
Five max.
Yeah,
five max.
And that's if Donovan Mitchell has another 70-point game. Why don't we talk about the two other series? Obviously, that game one of the Knicks Pacers was very entertaining. While I do think that the Knicks are clearly going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, the fact that the Pacers, I mean, I did not think it was going to be a close game whatsoever. It was an intense game. I did love watching it. Tyrese Haliburton, though, we need to start having conversations on him. I know that he had this injury that's been lingering and he wanted to get the Supermax. We still need to have a conversation on him, though, because I do believe that we did overrate him based off of half a season this year. He played great last year as well, but the fact that he made, I think he made first team over, or he made an All-NBA team over Jalen Brunson, did he not?
Bro, there was first team, like the all-star starters were Haliburton and Lillard, were they not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Haliburton, I understand to be a starter, though, because he played great in the first half.
Not Jalen Brunson to me is like I kind of held my tongue when we have talked about him in the past, and specifically with footwork, I think he has the greatest footwork of all time. Screw Kobe, I don't like.
Because
Kobe did not rely on footwork as much as Jalen Brunson does. Jalen Brunson, that's the only way he can score, bro.
I will say, given his size, his footwork is impeccable. Like I'm not even refuting that. But of all time, hoop over Hakeem. Over Kobe.
I don't care.
I'm not going to say you're wrong yet, because I do want to look back at some film and put them side by side and really compare it, because I think it's been a while since I've watched some prime Kobe, and I'd be kind of biased to just judge it off of Jalen Brunson right now, but I'll respect you for making that opinion, because that is get ready to, you know, deal
get
with
cooked.
A lot of haters coming your way.
I don't care.
I'm not one of those haters. I'm not hating on you for it, because I'm telling you, there's a legitimate conversation, and I will give a real answer when I compare the two side by side and really, you know, obviously give both a fair chance. I haven't watched Kobe in a minute, if I'm being honest. But
yeah,
are ballsy for making that take.
I don't care. It's
and I respect
ballsy.
It. I'm respecting
just
you for
fan.
It.
He's so freaking good. I mean,
I respect
like,
you for it.
It's upsetting because I think this Knicks Pacers series might go on a little longer than you guys expect. First off, I knew going in similar as to how I saw Kyle Lowry as the third biggest threat to us, aside from Embiid and Maxey. Shout out Tobias Harris. But Kyle Lowry is just, you see him in the playoffs, it's like, oh, that guy. This is how I view TJ McConnell. And
that's how I did
beforehand. As a Knicks fan, TJ McConnell has fried us over the last 10 years he's been in the league or whatever it's been. I knew he was going to be an irritant, picking up 94, play however many minutes he needs to be, regardless of what he played in the regular season. It doesn't matter. The second he walks into Madison Square Garden, he's picking up 94.
Bro.
All these 10-foot shots that are just all bottom of the net. That broken three-pointer goes in. It's TJ McConnell.
He's basically averaging a point a minute, bro.
A point a minute is crazy. And
of course, Obi Toppin now has something to prove, trying to go between the legs every chance he gets.
Yeah,
that's lucky Julius Randle isn't playing.
That's crazy.
But it's upsetting because regardless of how far the Knicks go, I mean, I hope they win the finals. But whenever they fall out, it's going to be because we don't have the depth. And the thing that's so upsetting about this team is that they do have the depth. The depth is just hurt. You know, you have a guy who would be playing 40 minutes a night in Randle at, you know, I'm assuming it would be all-star caliber play because I feel like he's changed his play style over these years. You guys can talk whatever you want. Watch my YouTube video on Upology. He's not the same dude that used to have the ball all the time. Jalen Brunson's taking care of that. But even to have someone out there where he's on the floor, you have to double. How much does that open up for DiVincenzo? For you can't double him and Brunson. Someone's going to be open. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that Brunson is dropping 40 a night on triple teams at half court is still so ridiculous that this team has so much potential had they had Randle, Mitch, and Bogey all completely healthy. With that being said, I still expect them to beat the Pacers. I think, you know, I don't trust Jason Tatum. I think it'll be an interesting series against the Celtics. I won't say my prediction.
He about to cook. Okay, I have breaking news. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the part of the show where I break some news. The Indianapolis police investigating NBA player and Simpson altercation the night Patrick Beverley threw a ball at 2:50.
Nah.
Now look. Sandy just said it like 10 minutes ago. You know, here on Yam Time, we don't like kicking men when they down. However, Patrick Beverley is a different case. This man not only accidentally threw the ball. He just accidentally missed his target and he beamed a girl upside the head. And then he got the ball back and then he beamed it at the correct target. And then he goes into the locker room. I think her name is Melinda Adams from ESPN. Just trying to ask a simple question. Just trying to ask a simple, simple question. And Pat Bev says,
"You subscribe to my podcast."
Now tell me this, Sadie Hoop, I'm gonna ask y'all this question right now. Y'all saw the video. Y'all saw how many people were around Patrick Beverley. If you mean to tell me that every single one of those people were subscribed to Pat Bev's podcast, I would punch you in the mouth. Like, stop lying. There was no way. Go ahead, Sadie. Go ahead. There's no way.
I'm saying this like our podcast is the number one podcast. We just come here for banter, so don't think I'm hating being like, we have a better podcast, blah, blah, blah. Me, personally, I don't listen to that pod. Like, I've tried to. There's a few funny clips, but I would much rather listen to Club 520, which I believe is Jeff Teague's podcast, or like JJ Redick's podcast. And I only got 24 hours in a day, and I'm a busy guy. So personally, and then I'd listen to Podcast P if I'm not listening to those two. Jeff Teague's has officially become my favorite podcast, though.
It is so funny. It is so
Most of them are like guest dependent. Teague, it's just Tim dependent. Like,
yeah,
you want to listen to Jeff Teague.
He's so funny. But anyway, Pat Bev's podcast is not like I don't think I've listened to a full episode yet.
Me either. That's no disrespect. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I just want to listen to something that's going to be worth my time.
He just has a lot of bad takes. Like when he was like, Siakam's not a dog or something. Like when he was talking about the Raptors, Siakam goes to the Pacers, they make the second round. And he eliminates Pat Bev.
Yeah, like, dude. And then,
like,
and then,
it's just stuff like that. And it's really petty to do that to a reporter, bro. Like the reporter's job is not to listen to your podcast. The reporter's job is to ask you questions. Your podcast is completely a third party thing to what you're getting paid millions to do.
And
the thing that is allowing you to keep your podcast running, or the fact that you even have an audience to run that podcast, is due to the fact you have a job within the NBA. And part of your job in that NBA is to answer the reporter's freaking questions when it is a reasonable question, which to my belief,
she asked a pretty
reasonable question. It was nothing crazy. I don't even think she brought up the incident with the ball, right? Like what
Pat
was it?
Bev, yeah, no,
no Pat,
like,
Bev Pat, on First Take anymore. He got banned.
Yeah, Pat Bev acted like he does.
Honestly,
he does.
I don't believe in second chances when it comes to that as well. Because dog, you are getting paid seven to eight figures to play basketball, And part of that agreement is you have to answer a couple of questions, whether you win or lose after the game. You don't like it. You're mad that you lost. I don't care. I don't have any sympathy or pity. You are making millions of dollars. I hate when people are like, well, the reporter, you know, they just lost.
No, bro. What are you talking about?
They're making millions of dollars, and that's their job. Your job is to answer the question, not to make sure that she subscribed to your podcast.
And it's not like it'd be one thing if she went over to him and was like, damn, Pat, hell of a stinker performance tonight. Like, that would be like,
yeah, she was just normal. Like, I felt so bad. Like, imagine how weird that is, bro. Like, that's her job, just like how it's your job to answer her question.
And then you're going to sit here and talk. Like, here's my thing, too, about the whole ESPN ban thing. Because remember when Pat Beverly told Steph Curry that the next 5 years are going to be mine? And in that time.
Oh, that time is up, right?
That time is up, brother. That time has been up. In that time span, Wardell got himself another one. And he got himself a finals MVP just to put the little cherry on top to kill all of his narratives. Patrick Beverly, on the other hand, this is what we're going to do. In the last 5 years.
Play-in tournament.
That's the first thing that popped in my head.
Champions.
Play-in champions. Shoving Chris Paul in the back after he just mollywopped your ass on the court. What else we got? Patrick Beverly's been injured a few of these times in the last 5 years, and he's still been on some pretty good teams. Think of, he's been on six teams in 5 years since that comment. He's been on
he did the Lonzo welcome to the NBA moment.
That was cool. And the crazy part
is he did the LeBron when he had a temper tantrum against the Celtics. He brought the ref the camera.
The camera.
That was a good one.
So, but notice how we're not saying Patrick Beverly performances. You notice you ain't heard a single box score in any of the things. We're talking about viral content worthy moments. So him going up to the referee and pointing to the camera, iconic. Him shoving Chris Paul in the back and then going on national television and saying he was a cone on defense, iconic, I guess. Like Patrick, if Chris Paul is a cone on defense, then Patrick Beverly's a cone with a battery pack inserted. Like, what are we doing? Like, what's happening right now? So. That's crazy. So me missing Pat Bev going on ESPN, I'm gonna sleep like a baby because I know for a fact that if he was to go on national television, he's probably gonna say some outlandish things.
No, but I liked him on ESPN. That's the thing that makes me mad the most. It's like, bro, you wanted a career in media. Clearly,
he would have been funny.
Career in media, and he threw it away over a podcast.
Nah, he still got it.
Running while he's playing. No, he's not allowed to ESPN lifetime ban.
No. I get that. But this is the funniest part about this conversation. Y'all just said, I'm with y'all.
Oh, he's going to be the Richard Sherman on the Skip Bayless show.
There's an opportunity. That is an opportunity. Now, Skip Bayless is sitting there doing this in the cut, just like.
I hope so. Because, I don't want to sound like a Pat Bev hater. I just really do condemn those actions. Like, those are not. Mm-hmm. There's never a world where an adult of his age and his maturity, his veteran presence in the league, you want to call yourself an NBA vet and you're showing the young guys that it's okay to be this petty to a reporter that has nothing to do with you all because you lost the series. Like, that's not cool to me. We should look to wrap up the show in a bit, though, because we are reaching our time limit here. Any closing thoughts.
Did you guys see, because I'm making a voiceover of Pat Bev throwing the ball at the fans.
Wait. Let me get in on that. Let me get an ad lib in on that. Please. Let me be Patrick Beverly. Please. I know for a fact that when I've been rewatching that clip, the way that he just boom, just domed it's like that was funny. That was funny.
What's crazy is so Brooke Lopez and all of them are like, you know, Pat, stop, holding him back.
Yeah.
What's crazy is after because he hit the girl in the first clip. Mm-hmm. That was like kind of hard to see. Then he beamed the dude, but the girl, I think it was her husband, was this really beefed up dude in a Pacers jersey, and he was like getting hot. And I don't know if it was Pat Bev who called for security to take him out, but he was getting like removed from the game. I don't know if it was a Russ situation where he just points at him. He's like, "Man, get him out," and then they just do whatever they say. But anyways, he got removed from the game. But as he was leaving, Giannis went and shook his hand. Oh, I'm sorry for Pat. He's a lunatic.
I'm sorry for my pet chihuahua.
I'm sorry, my brother.
I did not notice that. That is hilarious. Shout out Giannis. That's a class move. But if that's our final closing thoughts, I got to give one more shout out to TickPick. So let me know if you guys have anything else you want to.
The last thing I want to say, this is my last closing thought. All right. Mm. Giannis is a class act for handling that. Cause this is my first time hearing about that hoop. Class act. Pat Bev passed around like a blunt. And that's my final thoughts.
Okay. That's a Z final thought.
We smoking on 6 teams in 5 years tonight, okay. Boys. Let's go.
So this is a great way to transition into this. Shout out to TickPick once again for sponsoring our podcast. If you want to get seats right close to Pat Bev sitting on the bench, where you may also get a ball thrown at you with the potential of suing and getting millions of dollars, make sure to use TickPick. Use TickPick and code YAMTIME because you'll save 10% and potentially be able to sue somebody, potentially. And TickPick did not approve of that message. I'm just saying it. But all jokes aside, shout out to TickPick, the GOAT ticket vendor. Thanks again for sponsoring the show. Make sure to use code YAMTIME for 10% off of $99 or more purchases. But this was a great way to wrap up the episode. This was a great one. We plan to record within like the next few days again, just because there's so much stuff happening. We feel that it's a bad idea to kind of leave it for every once a week or something. So we appreciate you guys for listening, and we will catch you guys in the next episode. Peace.